think it is a real joy, privilege, and an honor to be able to be here another Monday afternoon, and we're thankful for the Lord's eternal love, His precious love. We said many a times His pure and perfect love. He's the only one that's capable of loving like that. The rest of us, at our best, we have a natural love, a God-given love, that is, no love in the flesh, but something that super exceeds all of that. His divine love, it's an unselfish love, a pure and a perfect love, and a powerful love. He loves us when we're unlovely. He cared for us and gave Himself for us at Calvary. The reason I'm going to heaven, the only reason I'm going to make it to heaven, because I trusted Him as my personal Savior, His shed blood that He shed at Calvary, that settled the sin debt and paid the price, and He's ransomed me and washed me and cleansed me in His own blood. I am what little bit I am. I do mean very little. If I've ever done anything good, real good, it couldn't be me, because the good part, all good gifts come from above, and the good part about me is Jesus. So I want to magnify and glorify Him and give Him praise and honor and glory, because He's the good part about anything and everything. All good gifts come from above. But I'm thankful that He saved a sinful, sorry, good-for-nothing sinner such as myself. Helped me when I couldn't help myself. Looked past all my faults, saw my needs, and saved me just like I was 38 wonderful years ago. I said, it's nothing like has wonderful salvation, not just knowing about Him, but knowing Him personally in your own heart, having the forgiveness of your sins, and washed in His blood, and have the free gift of eternal life. I'll never perish. Nobody's able to pluck me out of His hand. That's not what I said. That's what He said. That my sheep, that's those that have been saved by the grace of God, been made an heir of God, and joined unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and become one of His own, Him being the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, and I become one of His sheep when I got, of course, cleansed through His atoning blood. And He said, my sheep have eternal life. They won't ever perish. He said, no man's able to pluck them out of my hand. If you want to debate and argue, you can do it with Him. I'm preaching what He said. That'll settle it. That'll do to preach. And it's the truth, so you just might as well get accustomed and used to it. Pay attention to it, take heed to it. He'll do something for you too if you'll just let Him. He'll transform you and change you and bring you out of the religious state that you're in, that mind of confusion that you've got. Love you. You know, most folk, and I'm not trying to be ugly, but trying to be real. Most people today have a mind salvation and a lip service and an empty heart. They believe what they've heard all right in mind, but it never has got real and alive in them. They've never been transformed. They never have been changed. And they haven't had the operation of faith performed on their heart. And they have, by nature, a sinful, shameful nature, a depraved nature, a damaged nature, a fallen nature. God's got to cut out that old swine's nature. That means an unclean nature. That dog's nature there, again, unclean. And put a new nature, a new divine nature, a new God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And He does that through the operation of faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You cannot get saved if you hear the good Word of God. He's got to deal with you. Got to speak to you. He's got to draw you with cords of love, give you a place of repentance. And when He's opened up your blinded mind, your blinded eyes, gave you eyes to ears to hear and a heart to understand, and beloved, you need to let the good Word of God, the good seed, the soul went out and sowed the seed. The good Word of God got to fall on the good ground. You've got received the engrafted Word with meekness, which alone is able to save your soul. Outside the preaching of the Word of God, there's no hope for you to get to heaven. You've got to experience the new birth. No matter how good you may think that you are, you're just good enough to go to hell. I said that this past Sunday, said for many times before, most folks say, a lot of people says, well, God wouldn't send me to hell. And I said, well, you're right about that. He's not going to send you to hell. You'll send your own self to hell. He sent Jesus into this world to die for you, took your place at Calvary, bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of peace upon Him, but only by His stripes can you get healed. The healing balm and the chief physician, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And outside of the shedding of His blood, there's no remission for sin. He will not send you to hell. You'll send your own self down to hell. You'll make that choice yourself. You've got to make a better choice than choosing your own fictitious, religious, sanctimonious ways and all your pretense and apostasy, and the world's full of it. God have mercy. Most people running around here, hooping and hollering, caroling in their flesh, they haven't got the slightest clue, beloved, about who Jesus really is. In reality, only in the figment of their imagination and in their mind, beloved, they got a mind salvation and an empty heart. They never have been transformed, changed. They've been blinded by the God of this world. Satan himself, the Bible said, in no marvel, if his ministers try to play back their ministers of righteousness, Satan himself has transformed himself as an angel of light. He plays like he's God, a messenger sent from God Almighty, and plays back that he is God in most people's minds. And so they listen to him. He plays right along with them. He uses them to
quote the scriptures and jump up and down, hoop and holler. He knows he's got them as long as they're in pretense and apostasy. He knows he'll carry them right on down to hell itself. And he'll gloat in that matter. He'll be joyful about that. He'll just rejoice over taking every precious soul that he can down to hell. He's evil. That's all he knows. He's evil and corruption. He's a liar and the father of it. He's trying to do everything he can to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. And these people, they're bound up by religion. They eat up with some type of denomination. Never had a personal experience of grace. They'll be the hardest people that there is to reach with the good news of the glorious gospel of Christ. When it's preached in sincerity and spirit and truth, they won't have it. They'll rebel against it. They love darkness more than they love light. They won't come to light lest their evil deeds be reproved. They won't hear the word of God. It's easier for a person out on the street, maybe a dope addict, an alcoholic, or a prostitute, or a homosexual, anybody like that, just somebody that's been vile, a gambler, a smoker, and just one that lives in righteous living. It's a much better story to them, beloved, than when they hear the good news of the glorious gospel, and that gives them some hope, beloved. They'll get in before these other religious crowd will. These people who've been a church member all their life, who joined up with the church and put on the case of the do-betters and was under a meathead, a deadhead, a vulture in the pulpit, who can't help them. The Bible said the blind can't lead the blind. They all fall in the ditch. And so they're deceived by the flesh and by sin and by Satan. He himself has transformed himself as an angel of the light. Beloved, no marvelous ministers transform themselves as ministers of righteousness. Beloved, they're only deceiving themselves. They're blind leaders of blind, beloved. They're all going to fall in the ditch. And you follow somebody like that, and you'll never get liberated. You'll never get set at liberty. You'll never get saved. God help you to realize you've got to be saved by the grace of God and through faith, and that not of yourselves, gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is already paid for in full. Jesus died in your place. And it's got to get past your imagination and make past your mind. That starts in the mind, beloved. I said is the light. Of course, this old body is the eye. The Bible says that the light of the body is the eye. Keep my eyes single and full of light. Then I said, beloved, that the light of the soul is the mind. The Bible said the God of this world, the devil himself, hath blinded the minds of them that are unregenerate, the disobedient, and the unsaved. Lest the light, the good news, the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Beloved, your mind is the light of your soul. The devil has your mind blinded. But you've got to try to do the best you can to push aside and push off all that fictitious ways and pretense you've got and realize that you've never really had a personal experience in grace. And as far as your salvation goes, beloved, is in your mind. Get real. You'll never get right, beloved. You get real. You've got to be real with God. The Bible said the Father seeketh us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is the Spirit of truth, Spirit of holiness, and you don't worship God in the motion of your flesh and carrying on and pretense and apostasy and praying like you're something, beloved, that you're not. God's not in the entertainment business. He's in the business of saving precious souls. The Father's business is that everybody get to heaven and get saved. Of course, they won't, and the Lord knows that in His Bible, in His Word. He said, broad is the way to lead to destruction, and the multitudes are going in there at, down to hell itself. Beloved, straight is the way, now is the gate that leads to life everlasting, and few there be that find it. Beloved, if you get to heaven, you'll have to experience the new birth. I'm not talking about a case of new betters and turning over a new leaf and you proclaiming yourself to be some type of spiritual genius or leader or somebody that really is able to talk about the Word of God. But the devil, the Bible said, knows there's just one God, and he fears and trembles, and his end is to be burned, beloved, forever and ever and ever and ever in a place of eternal torment and damnation where the fire will never go out, where the worm will die and the smoke of the torment of a second death will ascend up forever and ever, and there'll be no rest day nor night. God help. I wish they weren't, but they are. Most people nowadays that I've come in contact with, and I hear in different places, and see them, beloved, they play like they're preaching and talking about the Word of God. They're in apostasy. They're in pretense. In their own mind, they tell themselves that they're all right. They've really convinced themselves, and the devil, of course, has helped them. He's their father. He goes right along with everything they think, beloved, just to seduce them, entice them, deceive them. He's hoping he's going to take them, and probably he will, right on down to hell. I hope that you'll get out of all that. Get out of your fictitious ways. And really listen not to your head, beloved, but listen to your heart. You've got to listen to the depth of your soul. If you left your mind, do all the feeling for you, beloved, and you don't let the Word of God penetrate your mind and get down to the heart of your soul, beloved, you're going to wind up being in sin, dying in sin, lifting up your eyes in a burning place to eternal torment and damnation, where the fire won't ever go out, where the worm will never die, and the smoke of the torment, the second death, will ascend up forever and ever. There'll be no less. Listen to me, day nor night. You don't want to die without Jesus. He died for you. Now, if you go to hell, you'll go as an intruder, and you'll go on your own. You'll go right past the Word of God. You'll go at the will of God and the way of God. If you go to hell, beloved, you'll make your own bed there, because you make your own bed, beloved. You'll sleep in it, you'll wallow in hell, and the fire is itself, and the fire torments of hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and there'll be no rest, day nor night. You don't want to die without Him. God help you. God help you to look at yourselves. I plead with you this afternoon. Don't die, beloved, with just a case of the do-betters, turning over a new leaf, some emotional experience you've had, a cold chill running up down your spine. I said before, you can get that kind of feeling, beloved, on some type of service, or some type of movie, it's a tearjerker, or somebody singing you old, some kind of old country song, or something that you did, some type of a song, that, beloved, that you're moved and motivated by. You can get those old kind of chills out of that kind. That's nothing but the flesh. I'm talking about something that's sent from heaven. I'm talking about God shaking you up and waking you up, beloved, and convicting your heart that is the heart of your soul, and transforming you and changing you, beloved, and put within you a new heart, a divine nature, God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm talking about being saved and born again, not of a corrupt seed, but an incorrupt seed, by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. You've got the Spirit's the new birth. Jesus died the death of a sinner that He might reconcile us back to God Almighty through the blood of His cross. And He went without the city, beloved, and died upon Calvary, Golgotha's hill. Went outside the city, beloved, opened up Himself. They carried Him up to Golgotha, the place of the skull. And there He laid down His life, gave His life as a ransom for our sins. Shed His blood at Calvary, gave Himself freely that He might escape the punishment of hell. How simple it is, the simplicity of the gospel. For by grace are you saved, through faith in that, not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of work, lest any man should boast. Let it get past you, man. Let it get alive in your heart. It'll do the same thing that it had done for me 38 years ago. Changed me completely. Changed my course. Established my going. Put my feet on the solid rock. My life has never been the same since I got saved. I'm not enduring it. I'm enjoying it. Thank God it's a wonderful, glorious, faithful, and full salvation. And I hope you'll get your drink out of this well of living water. When you do, I'll guarantee you, you know what I'm talking about, and you'll never thirst again. See, my time, you're just about known. I want you to write to us, pray for us, and God bless you is our prayer in His name. Amen.